Harper's Playhouse.
No. No. I keep telling you. I killed John Harrington.
A man with murder on his conscience waits until the 11th hour to unburden his soul. He waits until it's almost time for another man to walk that long last mile that leads to the death chamber before he bursts into the district attorney's presence with a strange story calculated to disturb conclusions that up to now seemed inescapable. Such is the situation Author's Playhouse presents in Thomas Walsh's analytical detective story, Light in Darkness.
You're the man who phoned?
Yes, sir. And you're Mr. Woolrich, the district attorney?
That's right. Come in.
I'm sorry to bother you, sir, but it's about Louis Marion, about the murder.
Oh? Well, you're coming here as usual. There's nothing I can do. Only the governor can help him now. He'll be executed in just 3 hours.
Yes, I know.
You're a relative?
No. I came to tell you, Louis Marion is innocent.
Louis Marion was tried and convicted for the murder of John Harrington. He gets the electric chair at midnight tonight. The case is closed.
No. I murdered John Harrington.
Do you know what you're saying?
Yes, sir. I killed John Harrington.
I see. Well, won't you sit down? Talk to me?
Thank you.
Now, what's this all about? Who are you?
My name is Walter Robinson. I'm the assistant cashier at the Third National.
Well, but you're cranked. The last minute attempt.
Oh, no, sir. This is all true. And sooner.
Well, why didn't you?
But my conscience, it just started bothering me today. Tonight.
Oh?
Please let me tell you about everything.
All right.
2 years ago, I got in a jam. Someone I knew gave me a tip on the market. It looked good. But I lost every cent I had. Then one of my kids took sick, and I had to have money. I was in a spot. And I figured I needed $1,000.
$1,000?
I thought I'd borrow more than I needed and play the market again, try to get back my losses.
I see.
I had no collateral. So I went to the only man who might let me have it. John Harrington.
You knew he was a loan shark?
I was desperate, Mr. Woolrich. I told him if he gave me the money, I'd pay him $25 a week until it was all returned. And I signed a paper that I thought said that. I paid the doctor bills and... Well, I lost the rest. And every week, I paid him $25. For a year and a half, till I'd paid him almost $2,000. I thought that was enough, but he said it wasn't. He said the $25 was just the weekly interest rate that I'd agreed to pay. He said I still owed the principal. And if I didn't keep on paying, he'd tell the bank.
Yes, that's typical of those loan sharks.
I know if the bank found out, I'd be fired. And I couldn't pay more than $25 a week. I didn't have it. I planned to steal that paper I signed so Harrington wouldn't have any proof. A couple of nights later, I went out to his house on Appleton Road. I took a gun with me, 38. But I didn't mean to hurt him. I thought I could scare him.
Just a minute. You'd remember the night?
Well...
Not the date, the weather.
Oh, yes. It was raining when I got off the bus at Appleton Road. A bad thunderstorm. Oh, the streetlights were off.
Streetlights were off?
Yes, sir. The storm must have blown down a power line or something.
I see. Well, go on.
It was just midnight. The road was quiet and deserted. The house was all dark. I went across the lawn, found a cellar window that was barely open, and climbed inside. It was pitch dark. But I got upstairs into his office, where he kept his papers and records.
And?
I broke the lock off the filing cabinet with a chisel I brought with me. I had a flashlight. But it took me a couple of minutes to find the paper I signed and the notes, things with my name on them. Just as I had them in my pocket, the lights went on in the room. He knew I was there.
And then?
I looked up, saw him sitting behind his desk with a gun in his hand. And I fired at him before he could fire at me, before he could even say anything, before he meant to. I must have pulled the trigger just as soon as the light went on. He fell across the desk on his face. And that's all, sir.
And the lock was broken on his files. That's true. We never did find out why Louis Marion... I don't know whether you're telling the truth or not, Robinson, but you know a lot about this case that you shouldn't know.
Oh, but it is true. Every word of it, sir. It's true.
Well, we can find out if this is a trick or not. There are ways of checking. And this might bear looking into.
Yes, sir.
I'll have Bill Powell come over here. He's a smart young detective who handled the case. You can tell him your story, and we'll see what he thinks.
I'll do anything you say, sir.
Just tell the truth. That's enough, Robinson. You'll have to satisfy us this isn't a trick or a scheme to get... Hello? Is Powell there? Oh, hello, Bill. This is Woolridge. Look, Bill, hop in the car and come out to my place right away. Something hot's just come up on that Harrington case.
Just as soon as the lights went on, I pulled the trigger. Harrington was kind of slumped to the right side of his chair, and he fell over with his face across the desk. I was scared then. I got out of there fast as I could and took a bus back to town.
Well, Bill, what do you think about it?
Might be worth checking.
I don't know. I don't know what to do.
Robinson?
Yes, Mr. Powell?
Tell me one thing more. How was Harrington dressed? What did he have on?
A bathrobe. Dark one, maybe red or brown. Inside he had on a dress shirt, but no tie.
That fits perfectly well.
Yeah, that's just it. You see the spot this puts me in?
Sure, but...
Well, say this is a put-up job. Say Robinson here is a friend of Louis Marion's, and I stopped the execution. That's a misstep. I'll be washed up. Why, the papers will never stop kidding me about it.
Yeah, that's right.
But if it's true, if it's really true...
Oh, but it is true. Every word. Please believe me, Mr. Woolridge.
Then why in thunder did you wait till tonight, the last night, to tell us, with only 3 hours left?
Yeah, well, how about that, Robinson?
Well, I waited because I thought this Louis Marion would be released or reprieved. I knew he was innocent, and I thought all along that they'd acquit him. When they gave him the chair, I thought the governor would commute his sentence. And besides, I had a wife and two kids to look out for. Oh, this Louis Marion was just a gangster. I figured he had it coming to him anyway for other people he killed. So I thought I'd let him take it.
That's what you thought all along?
Right up until this week. Yes, I meant to let him burn. And then my conscience started bothering me. Deep down inside me, voices talking, getting on my nerves. I couldn't stand it any longer, so I came here.
Well, Bill, you worked on the case. Now you've heard this guy's story. So you ought to know...
Maybe I ought to, but I don't. If you ask me whether this man's lying, I'd say no.
Hmm?
This doesn't look like an 11th hour stall to me. I'd say this man was telling the truth. But the funny part of the whole thing is, I still think Louis Marion did the job.
So Robinson's right and Robinson's wrong. That's your answer?
I'm a cop, D.A. I ain't a magician. I can't make up your mind who's right or who's wrong. But I've got an idea.
What is it?
I suggest we drive out to Appleton Road and have Robinson show us what he did. If the story's phony, that's the place to spot it, right where it happened.
I'll be glad to help you. I'll do anything.
Nothing's been changed out there. The place has been closed up patter and a drum ever since the murder. If you don't think it's too screwy...
Nothing's too screwy in a spot like this. Let's go.
This is the cellar window where I crawled in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a man could get through there all right. Now we're coming to the hallway, Robinson.
Yes, sir.
Suppose you describe it before we walk down to the office.
Well, there's one big chair about halfway down, and then a little table with flowers. And next to that is another chair.
Before we go into the office, tell us what's in it, how it's furnished.
All you can remember.
Well, there's a big fireplace across from the door with a long picture over it. And the desk is right in front of the fireplace. And then the filing cabinet is over there.
Well, this is it. Light switch right by the door there.
Okay, I'll switch it on.
Yes. Everything is the same. Just like it was that night.
Allowing for a little dust.
There's the desk over on the right, facing this way. Inkwell, blotter, the ashtray, just like I said.
Uh-huh.
And those are the files over there, on the left.
Better take a look at that cabinet, Bill.
Sure.
See if there are any scratches, chisel marks.
Yeah, that's right. Here they are. Just like he said.
Well, I guess that settles it.
You believe me that I did it?
I don't see how you could tell us these things unless you'd been here that night.
Oh, I'm so glad, Mr. Woolwood. I'm so relieved. I was afraid.
I wonder if this phone's still connected.
Probably is. Going to call the governor?
Yep. I'm satisfied, Bill. There's nothing else we can do.
10 o'clock.
Yeah. Oh, hello? Operator? This is Woolridge, district attorney. I want you to get me the governor at his home upstate. I'll hold the phone, but hurry.
Gosh, I'm glad this is over.
Are you?
My conscience. Oh, you have no idea what I've been through today. Oh, it was awful, Mr. Powell.
And now you feel better?
Oh, yes.
Hello? This is Woolridge. I must talk to the governor. Well, find him as soon as possible. It's very important. Tell him to phone me at the old Harrington place. That's right. I'll be waiting here.
Have to wait, huh?
Yeah, he's having a birthday party, and his secretary didn't know whether he should be disturbed.
But it isn't too late. They'll find him.
Oh, sure, sure. We'll just have to wait here until he calls me.
Oh.
You know, I've been thinking, D.A.
Huh?
It's Louis Marion. What about his story? I mean, how'd you feel about him all along?
Why, just like everyone else. Louis Marion was guilty. I've never been as certain of anything.
He was guilty by every law I know. It was almost perfect.
Yeah.
There's a cop ducks in a doorway down the street when it starts to rain at night. He sees Louis Marion come out of this house and get into his gray coupe.
And then we found the gun on Louis. The ballistics checked exactly with the bullet we picked out of Harrington.
And we know Louis wanted to cut in on Harrington's loan racket. Harrington wouldn't come across.
It all added up. Then.
Gentlemen, I had motives. I wanted to kill him.
Yeah. Well, this new evidence cleans up the case, throws it up, straightens out all the angles, ends it.
doesn't it, Powell?
Well, there's something about all this. I don't know.
What do you mean?
Now, during special work on the homicide squad, you get funny feelings about things, people. You know that DA, your office works the same as ours. We call it intuition. Once in a while, you get a feeling that someone's dead guilty. And the first time I heard Louis Marion's story, I said, that's the guy. I just knew it, understand? He checked all the way down the line.
Well, I guess we're entitled to be wrong sometime.
Yes, but... Robinson?
Yes, sir?
Get up. Go over to the door. See, we ain't here. You're alone, like you were that night, understand?
Yes,
You do everything you did that night again. Now.
You can't reconstruct the crime that's 6 months old, Bill.
Why not? The room ain't been touched.
Yes, but after all...
Say it's curiosity, dear. Say it's the feeling we both had about Louis Marion being guilty. Say it's that hunch I was just talking about. But let's give it a try.
Yeah, we've got time, I guess. But I wish that call from the governor had come through.
Okay, then. Now, Robinson?
Yes, sir.
Go on, with everything the same, understand? Just like it happened that night. Wait. I'll sit down in Harrington's chair. There. Now go ahead.
All right. I came in through the door. Here. And I...
What's the matter?
The light. Up there. It was off. And that little desk light was off, too. The one beside you there. I had a flashlight.
Oh. All right, I'll turn this desk light on so we can see. You switch off the ceiling light.
Yes, sir.
Certainly makes it gloomy in here with just one desk lamp on.
All right. Go ahead, Robinson.
Well, I had my flashlight on when I came through the door. It was very dark. I went across the rug, like this, directly to these files.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I knew the papers I wanted were in this drawer.
That's the second one from the top.
Yes, sir. I had to crouch down a little, like this. To use the chisel on the lock, pry it open.
Mm-hmm. Now, from where you are now, you can see me here at the desk. Is that right?
Well, yes, sir, but that night, the light was on.
I know. How long do you think it took to get the drawer loose?
Well, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 minutes.
All right. Okay, you got it open. Now it takes a minute or so to look through it.
That's right. And while I was bent over like this, looking through the file, the lights came on all at once. I swung around like this and saw him sitting there where you are now, waiting for me, pointing his gun at me.
And then?
Well, I fired at him before I even stopped to think. It was all so sudden. He had a gun in his hand, and I figured it was either him or me.
You shot just once, Robinson?
Yes, Mr. Woolridge. And then Harrington... pitched over onto the desk with his face down against the blotter. I can see it all now. Just the way the room looked. Just the way he looked.
Tell us everything. Be sure.
Well, lights were all on. And there was some smoke coming up from my gun. I was afraid then. And I started for the door. I remember I could see the reflection of the light on the gun in his hand.
Uh-huh. The hand that held the gun was... laying on top of the desk?
That's right.
That reflection. That'd be the light from this desk lamp here.
Well, no. All the lights were on. It was a reflection from the big ceiling light up there.
Wait a minute.
What's the matter, Bill?
You say the light on the gun barrel was from the ceiling light?
Yes, sir, the gun was in his right hand, extended across the far end of the desk, out of the range of the cone of light from the desk lamp.
That's right, I remember that myself. But the ceiling light couldn't have been on.
Huh?
But it was. It reflected off his gun. And the whole room was light, I'm certain, Mr. Powell.
Something wrong here.
What?
Well, don't you see? Anybody sitting at this desk could only turn on the desk lamp, this little one. The ceiling light... up there can only be turned on from the wall switch, over there next to the door. Look, I'll go over and turn on the ceiling light.
That's how they were. I remember the room was very light, and there was a reflection from his gun.
But wait a minute, Bill. The lights couldn't have been like this. Harrington would have had to cross the room to turn on the big light, and he was at his desk.
That's right, Mr. Woolrich.
That's the point, D.A.
What's a new slant on this case?
How do you mean?
That's something I didn't know before.
Well, what's the difference? Say, what are you trying to do? This man Robertson's confessed. Maybe he just forgot about the light.
No, I didn't forget.
Chances are they can't find the governor and it's getting late. I'm going to call the prison. Maybe I can talk the warden into staying at execution. We're just wasting time.
Listen, D.A. Don't call the warden.
Huh?
Not 11 yet. Give me a few minutes, D.A.
Well,
remember the cop story? The one that saw Louis Marion leave here and get into his coupe?
Yes.
That cop said it was just beginning to rain. Remember? He'd stepped into a doorway, probably hoping it wouldn't keep up.
Well, what about it?
Robinson here said he got off the bus when the storm was at its worst. That puts him here after Louis Marion. See?
Oh, yes.
Robinson said it was a bad thunderstorm. Didn't you?
Yes, I did. It was raining hard and the street lights were off.
That's it, the street lights. They were off.
Huh?
Say, what are you...
Isn't it obvious why?
Why?
The line must have been knocked down somewhere by the storm. That's why the house was dark when Robinson came. And that's why the lights came on all at once while Harrington was sitting at his desk.
But gentlemen,
Harrington
can't...
never touched a switch in this room, D.A. He couldn't get back here to the desk before Robinson turned around. Those lights, all of them, came on naturally when the current was restored.
Why, that's ridiculous, Bill. That just... You have John Harrington sitting here in the dark, watching a man, Jimmy, open his files and take out papers. You have him sitting here 10 or 15 minutes with a gun in his hand, watching all that and not saying a word? It's impossible.
No, it's not impossible, D.A. Because Harrington was already dead.
What?
Here's the way I figure. Harrington was dead, all right. Because Louis Marion killed him before the storm began, before Harrington had a chance to use that gun he pulled. And then Louis left him here, in that chair.
Yes.
Then the lights go off. And along comes Robinson in the dark.
But I don't see.
When the lights suddenly go back on, Robinson sees Harrington and his gun. He's in a panic and he fires before he gets a good look at Harrington. Then Robinson runs out of here without even touching the body. Harrington was dead, all right. Only he was dead before Robinson fired at him. He had to be.
Why? Why did he have to be?
Because a living man would have said something. A guy like Harrington would have plugged you in the back without taking a chance. Robinson, down there by the cabinet, was a perfect setup.
Yeah?
The lights were the thing that fooled Robinson. Just like they fooled us.
Gentlemen, I don't know
Yeah,
what
but
this...
look here,
but
Bill.
But there's still something missing. And if we can find it, that'll prove whether I'm right or wrong.
What's that?
Robinson?
Yes, Mr. Powell?
You said Harrington was slumped against the side of his chair. And after you fired, he fell forward across the desk. Right?
Yes. Yes, sir. I know I killed him.
There was only one bullet hole in Harrington's body. Remember?
Of course.
So if Robinson here fired at Harrington, he missed.
Maybe.
You got a knife, Robinson?
Hmm?
With a good-sized blade?
Yes, sir. Yes, but I...
Let me use it.
What are you going to do, Bill?
Have a better look at this upholstered desk chair. Now, if Harrington was kind of slumped to the right in this chair, like Robinson says, bullet might have missed Harrington. Look here, D.A.
Huh?
A tiny hole, almost invisible in the design.
Huh? Where?
Here, high up on the left. Let me have that knife.
Is there anything?
A lot of cotton padding.
Yeah. This is all very confusing. I don't know what happened in here that night, but I do know that I killed him. I know I killed him.
Here it is.
The slug?
Yeah. Embedded in part of this wooden framework. Take a look at it, D.A.
Robinson? What was the size of your gun?
Why, it's a 38. Like I said, it's home now. The paper said a 45 killed Harrington, but I thought it was a mistake or a trick.
Oh?
I thought maybe they suspected somebody and put that in as a trap. I never thought it meant that I didn't kill him.
A .45 did kill Harrington. And this slug here is a .38. It never touched him, Robinson.
That's right. That .38 missed him completely. You see, Harrington was sort of slumped over to one side of his chair. And it's a swivel chair.
Yes.
So this slug from Robinson's gun just knocked the chair back with enough force to jerk it forward. Harrington's own dead weight toppled him across this desk. That's how it happened.
You mean I didn't kill him? That I didn't?
You couldn't have killed him. And this slug is all the evidence we need, Mr. Robinson, to prove you didn't.
But I came in and shot him.
All you did that night was to shoot at a man already dead. That isn't murder. The only thing we've got against you is unlawful entry with a weapon.
Well, I don't know, D.A.
Huh?
You may be figuring mugs like this Harrington a human. I never did myself. If I were you, I'd kind of remember this Robinson's got a wife and two kids. And he needs his job.
Well, gentlemen, I...
If I was a betting man, D.A., I'd lay 5-1. He's on the straight road from here on out. How about that, Robinson?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir. I don't know what to say. Thank you.
You could be right, Bill. Besides, what on earth could we charge him with? You can't attempt murder on a dead man, can you?
Not hardly.
Looks to me like we'll just have to forget this ever happened. Let Robinson and his conscience go home and have a nice little...
I'll bet that's the governor. Called away from his party.
How'll I explain this? Hello? Governor? Sorry to bother you, Governor. Just wanted to wish you a happy birthday.
You have heard Thomas Walsh's story, Light in Darkness, which was adapted by Thomas Goutte, formerly of NBC Chicago staff, who is now stationed in England, where he's a first lieutenant in the United States Army Signal Corps. Lieutenant Goutte has been decorated 4 times, having received the Order of the Purple Heart and the RAF Air Force Cross. Direction was by Frank Papp. Whit McBride, Sidney Elstrom, and Charles Flynn were heard as the District Attorney, Walter Robinson, and Bill Powell. The musical score was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shields. Next week, same time, same station, Authors Playhouse will bring you Richard Ely Danielson's tender story of the Civil War reminiscences of Corporal Hardy. Author's Playhouse, announced by Don Gordon, has come to you from Chicago. This is the National Broadcasting Company.